What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's going on, y'all? You got Matt or Has. Today, we're going to be talking about the characters in the next Smash game and who we think is going to be in it. I'm just kidding. We're not
Bros
doing that.
Bros are in the YouTube comments.
Maybe seven episodes in a row was a little too much. What's going on, everyone? It's good to see everyone. We're recording at our normal time with all four of us here, which feels really good internally. We took the week off last week, so we're excited to... We're just catching up with each other on the call, having a good time and chilling. Want to see what's going on with everyone. How's it going? Marcus and Chuck at the same time.
We just want to both say, synchronize.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So yeah, you went to you were flying around and then like, and then I was driving around. I wasn't because my car is up. So see you.
That's a good summary.
For me, it's like a weird mixture of like things going well and poorly. Life is life in. So, like my car is not working. Like I couldn't put it in park. It was a really strange thing. So I couldn't take my key out. One of the weirdest experiences ever. I was just sitting in my car for like an hour. Like, bro, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm just moving a little shifter. Like, this is weird. Just stuck. So then I went to a mechanic, all that stuff. That was fun. And then we finally got through insurance. Wowie, it's really tough to get for any homeowners. It is really tough to get your insurance to want to cover stuff, even though you pay for it, which is really strange. But, you know, so that was lit. Psalm's developing great. It's fun running around with him. I was on vacation. I don't even think, golly, a lot's happened. Oh, I'm just going to speed run it. Yeah, we went on vacation. We learned that he really likes the ocean, so he kept trying to like run into the ocean, which is a little fun, but also like worrisome because it's the ocean and just disappear. The vacation was great. Our shower is gonna get fixed finally. I may have mentioned that, I don't know, maybe 4 months ago or something like that. So it's lit. We can take a shower. Woo! We've been taking baths. We have been taking baths. Like, don't put me in the Evo lump. Like, my bad. Like, maybe it's too soon, but I saw those Evo tweets. Like, anyway, life's good. Chuck, let's lock it in, bro. What's going on?
All right, I'm gonna speed run this. So I'm gonna take you back to what's the date?
23rd.
Well, right now, but I'm gonna take you back to the 19th the 20th on Saturday. I've been going to Smash Locals. I've been going 2-2. I lose Kazuya every week. It's been rough out here. I think 25% of the tournament player base in Hawaii, someone was saying like a random statistic, plays Kazuya. Literally, the tournament before this, I went 2-2, played against three Kazuyas, and was it Luigi or Game Watch? Or I don't even know. Some other shit matchup for Fox. Anyway, so going to this tournament, round one, lose to Kazuya. So now I'm in loser's bracket. Awesome. And then I end up I'm like 2-2 and then, or I'm not, I'm like 2-1. And then I have to go up against a Little Mac player that I lost to last term or the last time I played him in tournament. And I fucking hate Little Mac. Little Mac tilts me off planet Earth. I don't like Little Mac. And he's very frustrating to fight against, even though Fox shits on him. Like that's another thing that's frustrating. I know Fox shits on Little Mac, but I suck at the matchup or whatever, right? So I end up beating this player. I pop off because I'm just so hyped. It was like game three, last dog, last hit. I finally hit him with forward smash by the ledge. And then I have to fight a Luigi. Luigi, game three. He fucks up down throw, down B, and then I just up smash him. So that one wasn't as hype. But I beat two matchups that I usually lose at, and I was really happy. And then I had to go the next day, the next morning, I had to go to Evo because we're going to go and make, like, we're doing business and we all have to be there, right? So, just like with people on the team that are at Watch or in Watch Throne, but are at Evo. So then I finally get on the airplane. There's all the delay stuff you guys have been hearing about. So that really sucked. My flight got canceled from LAX to Vegas. I had to rent a car, rented the car. Going to Evo, at this point, it's like 10 p.m., so I'm going to get there at 2 a.m. I just need to get there the next morning. I don't care how I got there. Then the car shits out on me and says I can only use half the engine power. I call the rental company. They tell me that I can just keep driving it. So I drive on the freeway going like 40 or 50, make it at like 2:30. Everyone stays up, and we hang out. That was lit. So got to.
I love that picture of you and Void, though. I love that picture. That made me so happy.
It was very
funny. I knew some shit was going on, though, if that was the first picture I saw of you and him that weekend. I knew that wasn't good. I didn't know what, though.
Yeah, everyone was talking about how lit Evo was, and I was like, damn, I missed it, because I had work and stuff. So that it was still really fun to see everyone and hang out with everyone. Then I have to come back, and on top of that, all like the things that we gathered to do at Evo the next morning, it didn't work out, so I have to fly out again next week to do it. So that obviously sucks, but whatever. I got to hang out with people at Evo. And then on the way back, my flight got canceled from LAX to Hawaii. Had to book another flight with another company, and I was still able to get back home, but it was like at 1 a.m. the next, or I guess this morning. So that's been the last couple days of my life. Definitely a roller coaster, but yeah, glad to be here. What about you, Hez?
Oh shit, right to me. Damn, I was not ready for that.
I tried to speedrun that as fast as possible because I know the long story.
You already know it was Evo weekend. You know where I was. Third Strike was a feature game. You definitely know where the fuck I was this weekend and what I did. Before that, since we took a week off, I visited some family in New Hampshire. We had a wonderful time. Unlike Chuck, I got to drive my car on the highway, and I didn't go 40 miles an hour because I got to open it up because the speed limits in New Hampshire are 70. And they're really flat, really nice roads. So I'll tell you guys a little bit more about that later. But I had a really good time driving to New Hampshire, is what I'll say, in my car. So I had a lot of fun doing that. I've just been driving more recently, too. Like, it's such a good de-stressor that I forgot about because I've been living in the city, so I didn't have a car until I bought my new one. And I really like driving it, like, a lot. It makes me so happy. And I've never been a car person in my life, and I never thought I'd talk like this, but I fucking love my car so much, dude. So I've been driving. There's, like, a cool app you can just, like, find good roads to like kind of speed on, or like, you know, nice curvy windy roads with beautiful views and stuff that I've been looking at. So it's really cool. So I've been driving, I've been watching baseball, and I watched a shitload of Evo, which always leaves me feeling some sort of way, which we can talk about Evo. The other thing I did is I subscribed to the Patreon for the podcast, which has been a great improvement in my life. You guys could do it too. Tweak Talks, patreon.com/tweaktalks. Check that out. This week, we got actually a great question from a viewer. Now I feel bad saying we weren't going to talk about the next Smash game or characters in it. But question from a viewer, very, very thoughtful, very in line with what we've been talking about a lot recently. And it was more about taking kind of the meta and the characters from Ultimate, and if it gets transplanted to the next Smash game, how do we want the meta to look? What characters do we want to be good? What mechanics do we want to be around? How would we kind of design the next game with Ultimate's engine in mind a little bit? And what do we want to see and what don't we want to see? So we're excited to talk about that, especially my man Gavin, who's been competing and winning locals, but not in the way you might think.
Yeah, interesting transition. I've been really into to Yu-Gi-Oh! Charles knows that. We've played a bit. I've gone to a handful of locals whenever I can. And it's been really cool. It's kind of awesome to be like, just, I don't know. I usually go like 2-2 or like 1-3 or like I'm kind of just like a random person in the venue. Like, no one cares. I just suck. Like,
you're also very new, to be fair, right?
Yeah, I'm new. Like, it's very different experience. Like, they don't care that I'm a Smash player or anything. Like, they just beat my ass like they would beat anyone else. Like, so it's been cool. But I did win my last one, so that was really cool. It was a bit of a smaller turnout because there was a national, like, world qualifier thing in Texas this weekend. So it was a smaller turnout, so it was, like, you know, a round or two less. But yeah, shouts to everyone that's been playing with me, helping me learn, helping me with the different decks I like. I'm finally starting to get some like a mind of my own, I think, for Yu-Gi-Oh! With like making small changes to my decks and you know, side decking in between games. Like, it feels like I'm starting to get a grip for doing things in real time on my own, understanding why things are good, why things are bad. It's been a lot of fun. It's a really fun hobby. It's kind of expensive and I can be pretty impulsive, but it's been a really nice distraction, I think, just from life, and it's something new. But yeah, once again, shouts to everyone for helping me out with it. It's been, a lot of people have been very helpful. So yeah. But I'm still practicing Smash, getting ready for SmashCon and all that as well.
A quick sidebar on Yu-Gi-Oh! Just because we're on the topic. The deck that I've been like testing out because I felt like it would be a good mix of engines, it actually won the Edison side of Nationals. It's like this mix of like Frog Monarchs with Fishborg Blaster and Salvage and Pot of Adverse. So it was just really cool to see that. I was like, oh wow, I felt like this would be strong, and then it ended up like winning. Yeah, just won Nationals randomly. I was like, what the fuck, for Edison format, obviously. But
it was a huge tournament, right? Edison Nationals.
I think they had like 400, almost 500 players. I think it was about the quarter of the Modern Yu-Gi-Oh turnout, which I think is crazy for a retro format.
I think Modern was like 2,500.
Something like that. So, I mean, around like maybe 20% of that. And I mean, Modern Yu-Gi-Oh is still really huge. So I thought the Edison turnout was cool. And I mean, yeah, there's just a bunch of cool decks. It was a super diverse top eight. Edison to me is crazy because of how, I guess, balanced it feels like. I think the most repetitive like amount of decks in top eight were only two. So that's pretty crazy to think about.
That's not very comparable to the results of the Modern. That's
right. I think it's very hard. To be fair, I think it's extremely hard to balance a card game. So whenever Yu-Gi-Oh! Had pockets of metas where it's like, oh my god, like there's
people cherish it for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
But a lot happened. I did like a 10-hour stream watching Smash Factor on Sunday. That was cool. B and I weren't really too interested in Evo, but by the time like the big stuff rolled around, we tuned in. It was very, very impactful. Like, it was a great watch. Like, we watched a couple of the top eights from start to finish. A lot of stuff has happened. We take 1 week off, and I feel like there's a lot to talk about. But I mean, the biggest one for me was Punk winning Street Fighter VI.
1,000%. Yes, dude.
Yes. Hi.
He's a Philly guy, isn't he, Punk?
Yeah.
W, dude. That's a W no matter what, anyway. Dude, I was thinking about both of them in the finals, though, because they both choked away.
Yep.
Like, Evo.
Oh, that's what made that final so crazy.
I love both of them, dude. I love both the birds, obviously. Obviously a huge Angry Bird fan, but always been a huge Punk fan. And I'll always remember watching fucking Street Fighter V on ESPN. And watching Punk just fall apart, dude, it was so hard to watch. It was so tough. So to see him, dude, to see him back up there, man, it was amazing. And I loved it. Yes, I'm actually really, that was really amazing by you, Chris, because I saw someone pointed out today that his pop-off was just, it was fantastic because it was true, like, love, passion, like, bewilderment. Like, he couldn't believe it. And there's no screaming and any just true like just I don't know, like relief almost I want to say it was really beautiful, man. Like, it really, really was. It was just, it was so amazing. And I think, like, no matter what, I can't watch this, dude. Jesus, I can't watch. I really can't. Like, it's so good. It's amazing. And it just, it made me, I always, every single year, feel so inspired by Evo. In so many, as a commentator, as someone who loves fighting games, who loves Smash, even though Smash isn't there, obviously, they're very adjacent in my brain, and I think to everybody. It's just, it's hard not to watch so many great games and competitors and storylines and all this shit. It just, I'm so sad we're not there anymore. I really am. Like, very, I've never been to an Evo. People have asked me, like, how many Evos you've been to? Like, exactly. I got asked that twice this weekend. Hey, you didn't go. How many have you been to? I'm like, zero, bro. Never. I've never been to an Evo. I've watched every single one. I had the DVDs, bro. Back in the day, I had Evo DVDs. I bought them online. That's how old school I am. Probably somewhere. I bet you they're at my mom's house. I'll have to ask her. Okay. But that's how I knew, like, Daigo. I used to watch the, like, Guilty Gear DVDs with Daigo, bro. Like, it's crazy. And I've never been. I got to go, like, before I'm done doing everything fighting games. At some point, I will go. And especially since Third Strike was there, man, I was in it, man. Like, that final alone was so emotional, and like, it was like a perfect way to end the event. But it was just such a great weekend, dude. I couldn't stop watching. So yeah. What about y'all? What did y'all like?
Bro. Okay. Everybody is going to talk about Punk, and I'm definitely going to hop on the train, for a few reasons. I'm sure Gavin can probably relate to this, and Gavin probably relates to it on an even higher level because he's competed at like the absolute highest level in Smash, and he's had a lot of failures and disappointments and like very close wins. And it's like, bro, I just need that one like win to prove to not anybody else. I don't, bro, nobody else. It does not matter what y'all think. I need to be able to prove to myself that like all the work that I've put into this is actually amounting to something. And like, you really only need that one win. And it was like haunting him for years. Like that was what was that, 2017?
It was a while ago.
It was like 2017, 2019, one of those two. And he hasn't had that like big Capcom Cup, if I recall correctly. I don't think he's won a Capcom Cup. Or he hasn't had that big Evo. He's won a lot of things, right? Like he's won CEOs, Combo Breakers, all that. But like a Smash equivalent is like you need that Genesis win, or when Evo, when Smash was at Evo, you need that Evo win. And it's tough. I know for Gavin, I don't think Gavin's won a Genesis, but he's won other really, really large events like GOMO, Let's Make Big Moves, stuff like that. And you just need one of those like mainstay wins to really like, and that's why I like where Has said, like, it looked like relief. It is. It's like, bro, finally, like, fine. I've finally done it. All the doubters were saying like, hey, You never got that big win. I'm starting to really, it's starting to get to me. The people are starting to get to me. I'm starting to doubt myself. And now it's like, okay, whew, I knew it. I knew all the work I was putting in was amounting to something. I finally got the win. So that was probably like the biggest takeaway from Evo for me. I enjoyed watching all the games, but as someone who's watched Punk, and I kept making this joke over the weekend, and I'm sorry that if he hears this, because obviously they're like insane players, but I kept saying like Punk is having a Sonics. Like it's like one to one. Like Sonics keeps getting second over and over and over. And the consistency is incredible, and he's obviously one of the best players in the world. But getting second over and over and over, it hurts, bro. Like it, I don't know what that was. it hurts, bro.
Am I like, crazy? What was that?
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. It was like a chair or something. I don't know. But that it, I was like, bro, Punk can't fold in Grands again. Not again. This bracket is made for him. Like all of his demons are out. It's his bracket. And what, like Tokido lost, Mina's out. Like you, hey, it's yours to lose. And once he lost that first set 3-0, I said, bro, not again.
Yeah, it was
not again. But once he got that,
a bounce back from a 3-0 is fucking insane.
Once he got that first game in the second set, I was like, all right, it's doable.
It was crazy how quiet the crowd was after the reset, bro. That shit was like unsettling, man. Oh, yeah.
Everybody was feeling, they were like, oh my gosh, it's happening again.
Oh god, dude. And there were even like throughout the rest of the time, like there were a couple like malfunctions that happened with like, you know, controllers and headset. Yeah. Like, dude, what is going on right now? Like the dramatics were like seriously, dude. Game five, like last round, like it was
jumping, wild jumping.
How did he get wins on that jumping?
Wins on a silver jumping, bro. Silver still shines, baby.
bro, that's how Sonic Fox won Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Just dashed 8 times in a row and was like, I got the perfect timing.
That was more than a jump. That was a full screen.
Bro.
It was crazy too, because
like,
I was
time froze during the jump.
I was thinking during that finals, like they're both playing really well. Like I was like, there are no huge flubs that anyone's gonna point to. There's no like Evo moment, you know, like full parry, like none of that bullshit. But that anti-air, bro, that anti-air. I mean, it's just, it's one of the things with Rashid, right? Like it's one of the things about the character that isn't like super consistent or amazing, as far as I understand. I haven't played Six in a while, but I keep up. Like I watch and whatever. But it was just like, that is, like, I think, the one thing really that people were going to point to is just that one answer. I mean, it was just enormous, man. It was crazy. It was so fun to watch. And again, it makes me excited for, you know, not just shift the topic off of Evo quite yet, but it really makes me excited to go to Smash Supernova coming up in a few weeks. I can't believe it's only like 2 weeks away, man. 2-3 weeks away, whatever it is. I hope all four of us can be there. I really do, because, you know, the whole setting, Evo, it's not even people, it's not even humans I know, just people who I followed on the internet for a while. I'm like, wow, I really hope this dude wins or whatever. And I was getting emotional. I was like, bro, I see the boys for the first time. I'm like, some of y'all I haven't seen in months, man. Like, what's going on? I'm just excited. And not just you guys. Obviously, you guys are like a big highlight personally for me.
Oh, thank you.
But just everyone, man. It's just been a while since we've had something big, and Evo really made me feel that, man. Like, and, you know, Phil was there, and Void, and a couple of DeBuzz and Riddles, like a couple good lads were there. But it's just like, dude, I don't know, fucking miss it, man. I miss that big stuff. Something's gotta give, bro. I don't know.
Bro, DeBuzz did pretty well in Street Fighter, right? I don't both, know how Riddles did, but
they both got 129th, I think, or something like that. That's pretty good. That's damn
like,
good.
It was like 6,000 something people, right?
They both grind, yeah.
Man, that entrance count is crazy. Just saying that number out loud and just being like, that's the entrance to a offline tournament. Like, God,
yeah, dude. Like when they're like
huge ass number.
Yeah, and we're in top four of Tekken. Of 4,000, I said, wait, what,
bro? Like, so huh? Crazy,
so cool, man. It's so cool. Like, I don't know. It's amazing. Yeah. What else do you say, dude? The Chipotle things were hilarious. By the way, I don't think I've seen like whoever did the marketing for that. I mean, like, deserves a raise, promotion. Like, that is such a great crossover. I was craving Chipotle all weekend. Got some myself. I will admit it. It is what it is. I know, dude. It's been so good about that stuff too, but. It's all good. I was supporting the fighting game community. Okay, I was like, I'm right off of my taxes at the end of the year. But, yeah, Gavin, I think people would probably want to hear more about what you think about, you know, our huge tournaments and kind of that. I don't know. There's so much that goes into these fighting games and into Smash and all that shit. What do you think about that?
I don't know. Obviously, I think a lot of people that are like a little bit more casual with fighting games probably know me from the Evo run, which is unfortunate, obviously, because, you know, there's some other cool things I've done, but I'll take it, right?
I'll try not to bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Like, I think I actually talked about this right before, like when Evo was around the corner, and I was like on a walk with B and we were chatting about it, and it's always like a, like, damn, it's a shame that it's like that it's gone from Evo. You know, it's like a Sony thing now. It's like, it's pretty much like an all hope is lost type of thing. And I guess to be pretty blunt about it, in terms of the how the tournaments run and all that and like the rule sets, like, it's one of the worst Smash tournaments of all time.
Yeah.
In terms of like rule sets and like
best of threes, yeah, like top three, yeah,
even schedule.
Every game suffered through that. It sucks, dude. Like, yeah, even like the top eight thing, I'm not a fan of either. Big time, not a fan of that.
More like a general just sense of like being there, and you know, at the end of the day, like those last couple matches are like just, you know, pretty magical, like all that stuff. Like, you want to be a part of it regardless. Obviously, like a lot of it is like, even though some of it's the best of the best, a lot of it's also some of the worst of the worst, worst of the worst when it comes to like playing it and everything. But at least for Smash, like, Smash has always been kind of treated weirdly at events that aren't strictly Smash. But we were just talking about it, and, you know, it's like, it's a shame and all that. But man, if it ever comes back, I feel like everyone would be very grateful and very ready. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, for me, it's like one of those angles where it's like, if there's even a 1% chance, like, you know, I would think I'm ready for it. And obviously Smash has its own things. We've had a lot of great moments. We have a lot of great tournaments, like, and all that. But, you know, it was just great to watch it just as a fan of competition. But, like, obviously you can't help but think of it like, damn, it would be cool to be there. Like B especially really missed it. She really liked her experience when she went. So, yeah, I just, in my head, it's like, if the next Smash is so cool and so big, like, it's like Haz just said, like, something has to happen. Like, please, like,
I know,
make an exception just this once. Like, because, like, you know, Smash can get those numbers of entrants at a tournament like Evo. It has, obviously. So we'll see. But I liked a lot of what Marcus had to say about how Punk must have felt in the moment. You know what I mean? Like, the Smash equivalents, it can make it a lot easier to understand. And the relief after you win like a really big tournament, like, I'm talking really big, the relief is the best part. It's like, in, to be honest, it's the only part that matters, to be honest, to me. Like, for me, after winning a big tournament, it's not like a bunch of theatrics or, like, you know, tweeting at or crazy things and flexing on people. It's more so just the relief for myself, like, because so many tournaments don't end that way. So many tournaments end with a failure, or like you were almost there, or blah blah blah, or like what if. So like the relief is an incredible feeling. Like I've always like thought of it like it's like I just said, it's not all the crazy theatrics or anything. It's just like, sheesh, it kind of feels like coming out of a situation like just like unscathed, or like you're coming out like it's like gambling a bunch of money and coming out even. It's like you didn't really get anything crazy, but you didn't feel like shit. Like like it's very like relaxing and like relieving. Like you know, if you think of it from a ranking standpoint, it's like you didn't get any big losses, you know, and even if you did, you got the first place. Like it's very relieving. Like you can just think about the next tournament. Like you don't obviously you can work on doing things better, and if you had any close matches, there's that. But the relief is the best part. It's like there's nothing anyone can say that can make you doubt what just happened. You know what I mean? Like, you know that you got the first place result, and nothing can change that. But if it's like a second or a third, like it's going to eventually get to you, the more stuff people have to say. And yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of rambling a bit, but
that was great. That's funny that you say that too, because I think of some moments that happen in this Evo, like obviously winning, you know, that's like competitor point of view, which is awesome and totally, but there are times where someone who doesn't win the tournament totally steals the show. And I think of two, obviously, from Evo, and Hyo from this year, the Hugo player at Third Strike. Did you guys watch Third Strike, by the way, or am I just going to be talking?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So for context, he plays Hugo, who's the GOAT. I love that character. He reminds me of Melee Donkey Kong a lot, where he was considered very bottom tier when the game was relevant and like in its time. But now that, you know, we've progressed further, people have really pushed Hugo far, and he's like kind of like a B minus character, where I think like that's where Melee Donkey Kong's kind of getting. I think there's some parallels there.
Yeah.
And he got fourth place, which is incredible, because his matchups against top tiers are so dog shit. They're so bad. And even so, like Yurian destroys him, like it's so bad. Yun, I just don't even, whatever. But this guy, Hyo, who's the best Hugo, like GOAT Hugo right now, obviously there's some other YSB. Come on, come at me. I know my Third Strike. There's so many, he stole the show. He got fourth place in Third Strike, but he's all anyone's talking about. You guys saw the quad parry on the Air Tatsu into the punish, into the standing roundhouse that went over the super. He didn't full parry. He knew, or it was like kind of, I don't want to say an option select, but he picked the right button in a very, very tense situation, and he won. And also, he's just hilarious in between the shows, or in between each match. So I think it's interesting that huge moments like that have the opportunity to do something. And you know what the other one is? Daigo versus Justin, neither of them won that Evo. You guys know that, right? Well, obviously, Justin didn't. You guys know who won that Evo? It was a trivia question that they asked, and I was getting all those trivia questions right. By the way, I'm just
saying. I have no idea.
I don't know.
It was a young player named KO is his name. Very, 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 very fucking good young player. Which also brings a full circle, because the finale for Third Strike, again, was beautiful because it was Chun-Li versus Yun, which is that game in a nutshell. Those are the two definitive top tiers. They're a couple slightly behind them. Yun is one of the only characters in that game that does quote unquote well against Chun-Li. God, I hate Chun-Li so much. I've never hated a character. I don't care what Smash game you're talking, Ice Climbers, anything. I hate Chun-Li so much in Third Strike Pro. It like changed me as a person. It really did. It's good. So seeing MOV go from Elena to Chun was just like, it was so disappointing, but also he got the W, so it is what it is. And that's Third Strike. It's such a flawed game. It's so beautiful in so many ways, but it was great, man. I felt the same way about Marvel last year. I was so happy to see Marvel back there. But at the end of the day, the meta always rises to the top, especially in those older games, right? Remember Marvel? It was just Zero May Cry all day and Kane Blue River, right? Like, that was pretty much it. But in Third Strike, we had great diversity. I was very, very happy. Sorry, I'm going on a Third Strike tangent. But anyway, my point stands that sometimes there are huge moments. Very rarely, though. Very rarely. Most people are going to remember just who won the tournament. And I think it's interesting, Gavin, because just a pure numbers game, only one person could win. Punk was the only one who won Evo. He's 10,000 competitors.
One hit. Only could have been either one, yeah.
Dude, and he tweeted that. He was like, it could have gone either way. It's yep, it absolutely could. That's how you know he's a real one. I think
Punk
man.
Made a comeback, you know what I mean? So pretty crazy. But some of these moments, like I can't help but equate it to like Evo just creates these moments just from the legacy of the tournament. Like, it wouldn't happen anywhere else. Like, this is an Evo, the crazy moments, the people stealing the show, the tense moments, like all the crazy chaos that happens because of the pressure, like only Evo can create it. And just as a community, I think it's just, we're just grateful, I think, because like only Evo could have some of these moments, bro. It is some crazy stuff that happens. And I couldn't help it. I just kept checking the viewer count once in a while. It's over 100K people watching. It's just beautiful. Like, B and I are like, we got to order food and watch the rest of it. Like, it's just.
Order that Chipotle, man.
It's really our Super Bowl. It really is, dude. I look forward to it so much every year. Like, when summer hits, when I think of so many things in the summer, nice long drives, nice weather, old beach, whatever. And fucking Evo, I really do. And I don't think I'll ever stop doing that. Yeah. It's so amazing. And oh man, and like knowing it from the beginning too, not to like be an old head again on it, but just seeing how far it's come. And you got to give the people who own and manage the tournament so many props, from upgrading the tournament to keeping it relevant, not just relevant, but keeping it on top and like being the gold standard for tournaments and keeping that storyline, all that shit. It really does take a village to make this shit work. And it wouldn't have, and again, I always thank TOs and the people, the, you know, thankless job for a lot of people behind the scenes, but holy shit, man. Like, it's the best. It's just the best. And I want to be back so bad, dude. I really, for Smash, I really, really do. But like you said, that's obviously maybe more hopium than we do when we do our character selections for the next Smash game. But who knows? Hey, maybe when the X-Men get into Smash, we can come back to Evo. We can play with Marvel, you know?
I feel like the same reason we talk about the next Smash so much is very similar to the same, you know, like wanting to be at Evo again. It's just, you can't help but you just want to experience the roller coaster one more time. You know what I mean? Like, Smash Ultimate's been around for 6 years. Yeah. Like, we haven't been at Evo for a while, and you know, there's a new Smash on the horizon. Kind of like, it's just hard not to want it. But yeah, now that it's a Sony thing and all this stuff, like, it's very.
It's looking grim.
It's looking grim. I'm sure other things will appear that will be nice and all, but you know, and also in a lot of ways, not that I don't want Smash to beat Evo, but like as a Smash player specifically, like I feel like I look at all the tournaments a little differently too. Like as a player, when I look at Evo, it's like, oh, I'm dreading like all like the rules and the like, the chaos of, you know, the tournament being ran the way it is. But, you know, and then there's other tournaments that are a bit more grassroots, but still big for Smash, that like as a Smash player specifically, it feels like it's easier for me to do my job there. You know, like, you know, shouts to the Let's Make Moves tournaments and all that stuff, where it's definitely, you know, it's a Smash tournament. It's very grassroots. Like, I know my people, like all that stuff. So, but at the same time, it's like Marcus was saying, you got your Smash Cons, your Genesis, like your Evos. Like, when it comes to like the highest peak of a victory, Summit, I would say, like those are the ones that you want to get those under your belt, because it's like, how can anyone argue against you as a competitor if you have those under your belt? And I've never won SmashCon, I've never won Evo, and I've never won Genesis. So those are like,
but you got a Summit. You got a Summit.
I got a Summit.
You get a Summit, yeah.
You cheesed everyone with Diddy Kong.
I should have
gotten two. You didn't win the one I was there for. Come on, man. What the heck?
I should have got two Summits, but I'll take it.
dude, never to. Oh. At that Summit, dude, I was, by the time that happened, since I wasn't casting top 8, I was beyond shit-faced at that point. I was like, I'm so pumped. And then I just was watching it happen. I was like, I'm so pissed right now. Like, I don't even know what to do. I was like,
you forgot what Ultimate's currently like.
Oh my god, dude. That's all I can remember, is sitting in the back table, like behind all the other casters. I'm like, dude, fuck.
But yeah, you know, I'm very prepared for Supernova. I've been practicing every day. We'll see. But yeah, I feel like I'm at this spot where it's like, I whether it comes back or not to Evo, if it does, I just want to be as ready as possible and really take advantage of it, because it'd be a blessing. But for now, you know, it's like being even more grateful for things like Supernova, Genesis, and stuff like that, because we don't have summits and we don't have Evo. Like, those are some big ones. So
I think the one thing that I really love about Evo too, and it's the same, I've said this about CEO, but I love being in the mix with so many different fighting games and so many people from so many different walks of life and places and things that they care about. Because you go to CEO or an Evo and it's like, are you a Street Fighter player? Or are you a KOF player? Like, are you here for the old school games? Like, what's the deal? Yeah. There's so many, I don't know, dude. I love that. And I love when Smash is included in that. It's very, very important to me personally that Smash is included with all the other shit that I really like and care about that are super adjacent. So yeah, I miss that part of it, because Evo will always have a huge crowd pretty much from the beginning of the day, Sunday to the end. Like, it's packed. It's like people were having problems getting seats and everything, even from the beginning. So if your game makes it to even Saturday, like Third Strike was pretty fucking full too. It was really, really cool. I don't know. Evo's the one that got away, man. That's the one. Think about for the rest of your life. You know? I mean,
but we can appreciate the moments we got from Evo for both, like, current Smash game. I mean, dating all the way to Brawl. There was a Brawl Evo with items. So you feel like Brawl, Smash 4.
Of course, it had fucking items.
It had items, yeah. Shout out to CPU, the winner of that Evo.
He beat Ken, right?
Yeah, from Melee. I kept Melee Ken and got second place.
Hey, they knew the meta. They were good characters in that game.
True.
Probably okay.
It was so funny watching CPU get the final smash and just grabbing and pummeling, because that was just how you got a bajillion damage. Remember that? The final smash. But
that's what he does now.
Yeah, true. Right. It's over.
You're in the grab for a while when he down throws you.
But we got with Melee too, we got so many golden moments.
Huge.
You know, and for all the Smash games. So even I do want Smash to come back for Evo, but if for some reason it doesn't, I can still look back at the past and just really appreciate all the moments that Evo gave Smash the opportunity to have. And I think a lot of amazing things has happened. I mean, many careers were built off of it, right? So incredible legacy. And just watching Evo continue to grow and set the bar higher and higher every year, because they set the bar so high. Even last year was just out of this world amazing. And they topped it, and they're going to continue to do so. So it's really sick to see that. And I think the FGC deserves it. They've been working so hard for so long. And it's just so sick to watch it progress. And at the speed that it's progressing at, too. It's just phenomenal.
I actually have a hard, like, my memory is terrible. And, like, I've been traveling so much for so long for Smash since I was, like, just a kid. So, like, dude, I forget things. My memory is terrible. But, like, you know, when things settle a bit, like you said, it's a little easier for me just to be grateful for all the crazy shit that has happened in my life. Like, but yeah, it's tough. For some reason, I just have the worst memory. Like, I'm sure y'all know this. Like, I just don't remember anything. But yeah, dude, like, I've been doing this for like 10 years, and I've watched a bunch of crazy moments, whether it's on the live streams or in person, or I've been a part of them, winning, losing, blah, blah, blah. Like, I've basically done it all with Smash, and just watching like the adjacent communities, like Haz was saying. So it's pretty crazy. I just want one more roller coaster, bro. New Smash game, crazy one stuff.
More. Just one more.
Gajillion entrant tournament, back at Evo, like that's not gonna happen, but
there's a chance.
Just as a fan of Smash though, I like a lot of the things that have, I wouldn't say they've replaced Evo, but I like a lot of the things that have become super popular after the fact. Like, I feel like Max, Joe, and Squad have really stepped it up. Luminosity has like really added a bunch to it. Japan is like such a juggernaut for Smash right now, whether it's tournaments, players. You know, Europe has such crazy production and tournaments over there too. So I feel like things are really different. I was recently talking with someone that was around for like 4 and early Ultimate. Shouts to Jack. And I was just talking to him about the landscape of Smash, and he was talking about how, like, it just sounds like a whole different universe. Like, certain tournaments just aren't a thing. Some regions are, like, more popular for tournaments than others now. And it is really different. In a way, it's really cool in that sense. So,
yeah, Smash is still progressing, right? So I think that's really cool. And even it feels sick because back in Brawl and Smash 4, it was mainly the US that had all the big tournaments and all this other stuff, right? But I think the Smash community on a global scale has leveled up so much that it feels relieving, because if we didn't have, if everyone else around the globe wasn't leveling up and then all this other stuff was happening, then it would feel like we're not breaking even, right? But it feels to the point where everyone is leveling up so much, we've lost a lot of things in the Smash community, but we've gained so much in terms of globally that it feels that the Smash community is also progressing too, right? Like the fact that we're not at EVO isn't just a death sentence for us. So I think that's really sick that the Smash community can do that in itself, right?
It's the thing they always say about the Smash community. We always find a way. There's always something. I mean, even think about this year. We lost a lot of big tournaments, man. Like, but it's still going. It's still happening. And when the next, you know, big thing comes out or the next thing happens, keep going.
Yeah.
It's going to keep it going.
We'll be ready for sure.
Yeah. I'm ready.
But yeah, I was
watching. Smash community be resilient.
Absolutely. I actually super agree with that. I actually really like the community for their persistence and perseverance through a lot of things. Which is super cool. Anyway,
I was watching pretty much. I did like a 10-hour stream of Smash Factor. We skipped last week, so we didn't really talk about Smash Factor.
I tuned into that. You've been consistent on the streams, man. Good stuff on that.
Appreciate it. Please subscribe to my Twitch. Sometimes
there we go. So I know you're a streamer now. You're shilling,
bro. Sometimes it's demoralizing to stream for a few hours and get nothing, bro.
Dude, that one thing I noticed with your current streams. Sometimes you'll just like throw it out there, like, "Oh man, you know, I'm two away from this." Like, and then you see the primes roll out. I'm like, "There you go, Gavin, throwing a little show every hour."
It's not my thing, but I'm trying.
He's got a cat to take care of, bro. Come on. It's real shit. That's real shit. Yeah. I'll make you work. Anyone ever needs is the right motivation.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I think it's amazing to have top player insight during top eights and stuff, and you know, you're seeing different meta developments and stuff, and hearing what Gavin has to say about it. Obviously he competes at that level, so having that perspective is very fun. I tune into your streams all the time when you're watching tournaments. Have a good time.
Appreciate it. Yeah, congrats to Shouty Mark. Yeah, that was very impressive gameplay.
Disciplined gameplay. I think that is the most difficult thing to do in Smash is to be disciplined. And that watching Shiny Mark's game plan is extremely disciplined. Doesn't mean he's going to time you out every time, but the thing is, Pikachu just has very good defensive options and then has very good setups into offensive mix-ups, and you see Shiny Mark deliver with that. And I think you have to be extremely disciplined to make Pikachu work at this level, especially now that it's 2024. Like, you have to play like this.
There's a lot of interesting things when you're playing like you're threatening a timeout and your opponent...
Pikachu dash attacks.
So and your opponent's playing in a way where they want to prevent a game getting to that point. Because I think regardless if a game actually goes to time or not, when I'm playing or watching, depending on what's happening in the game, I will be in timeout brain regardless if it goes to time or not. I feel like a lot of the time, like, something will happen and people will be like, "Oh, but there wasn't really that many timeouts," or "Oh, there wasn't a timeout in this set," when in my head, like, every game was virtually a timeout. A lot of the time, like, a game might speed up because the other player's throwing in the towel, essentially, and like kind of jumping into the lava, because if they don't throw out a Hail Mary, like, they're going to get timed out. A lot of the time, characters like that are so strong that it's like, do you want to die for 7 minutes, or do you want to die for a little less and just go to the next game? In my brain, when I'm in that scenario, like, it's still a timeout. Like, it was going to happen if the other player didn't essentially lose the game themselves.
The time forced interactions to be made.
Yes. So whether that happens or not, I don't care. My brain is still in the mode where I'm dealing with timeout strategies. That's always interesting. It's like any other competition, like fighting game type of thing, where like a win condition, if it's so strong, it doesn't actually have to happen for it to influence the outcome of the game. If you're playing a character that is like not good at catching Sonic, you really don't want him to get the lead on you. And you're going to play in a way that's you're just going to fall into the trap even faster, because you're going to be playing so desperate. Your options are so much worse, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, the strategy is just so effective that it doesn't even have to happen. Like,
yeah, and also Shining Mark, too. Like, shout out to Shining Mark for beating Game & Watch. That's a really hard
bracket. He had a hard bracket.
Yeah, he had an insanely hard bracket and won. Like,
it's always very poetic when you win a hard matchup or two, and it's the deciding factor between winning the tournament or not. Like, a lot of the time for players and characters, like, it is that is what one or two opponents that's really stopping you from first place. So shouts to that. It was very nice. Yeah.
I think the thing I really liked about Shiny Mark's play is I totally agree, Charles. It reminds me of you a little bit, Charles. The on paper Pikachu is like really much better than how people play him, right? Like timeout Pikachu, like a fadeaway jumpers all day, right? With the Thunder Jolts. And like, dude, the thing, he did that, and not only was he persistent and locked in with that, which is really, really good and hard to do for an entire tournament, especially, like you guys said, running into tough matchups, but he was also going for some crazy shit, like some quick attacks towards the ledge. What? Like, just so many times I was like, he's gonna SD, and he just didn't, dude. Like, but that's what it takes with that character. Like, that character absolutely broke a piece of shit. Absolutely, but you have to be willing to do those things in moments where it could just throw the whole tournament away from you, which is insane. And you have to do it for a long time, which is insane. So that, not only was he patient and persistent with his gameplay, but very bold at times too. Like, you might not say that or might not think that because he was going for like the slower gameplay for most of the time, but there were some huge moments where he went for crazy shit. I was like, dude, if you gave me 20 tries, I probably couldn't hit that quick attack angle, you know? And obviously, I don't main the character or anything, so it's a little different. But yeah, still, you got to give it up, man.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think a lot of people always, they don't talk about the offense for these players, like Sonic, Shiny Mark. But obviously, both of these characters have extremely high mobility. And in a Smash game, when you have crazy mobility, you can abuse the lack of said mobility for your opponent and play some of these more defensive strategies, right? But on top of that, Sonic's and Shiny Mark also go crazy when it comes to the offense. Like, no other Pikachu or Sonic player gets this much damage on hit. No other Pikachu or Sonic player are doing edge guards like this. So they're also pushing the offense of the character. And you, with this, if you have the base defensive strategy, it doesn't work if you don't zero to death them or like go for this crazy edge guard that uses sour up air into a bridge that gets the KO at 50%, right? Because that's when Pikachu or Sonic start to snowball off of their damage output. You're already struggling against them in neutral because they have insane mobility. Plus they get the one hit, they have crazy conversions, or they go for really good edge guards in their favor. So again, I just want to shout out that players that have really good mobility characters like Shiny Mark and Sonic, they both play the offense and defense extremely well, and you can't just tunnel vision on the defense because you saw time on the screen. There's other things to appreciate, in my opinion.
Bro, I'm going to say something. Happened.
See you.
Pikachu's ledge trump back air is low-key such a good win condition, bro. Pikachu's back air off stage is so broken.
Like, dude, watching them edge guard each other when they're like 50%, they're both off stage, like practically in the bubble, and just
why is every that.
It's like so kills, crazy how broken these characters are.
Shiny Mark kills a fucking ledge trump bear, bro, and doesn't it's so big and so active, like it doesn't fucking matter.
Doesn't matter how you like quote unquote.
Bro, that's one thing I hate about Pikachu. That character, I need to chill out, but those hitboxes are way too active, way too generous, and not precise enough. That character is not that precise.
I heard you complain on stream, Gavin, real quick, that you're like, Pikachu's top five, and I'm not talking about on-paper Pikachu.
Yes!
And I agree with that. And I'm generally an on-paper guy, but when I say Pikachu's top five, I'm not saying like, oh, hey, we're looking like 5 years into the future where Pikachu
not that hard.
Is infinite. It's like, no, this character just has really good tools.
Yes, it's just good. It's just
broken.
Everything that happened was very normal Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. It was not some alien technology, fucking crazy
shit.
It was just a broken character with active hitboxes that are fucking huge, that combo to 1,000,000%. On a character that has no hurtbox, that shit is easy as fuck.
The other thing I was going to say too, just thinking about like his win conditions in general, Pikachu, they're very, very good.
They're obvious. Like,
yeah, they're really good.
Up throw, ledge trump back air,
dash attack,
Thunder Jolt confirms, Yeah.
Tijo for ledge trapping? Dude, Shiny Mark was so on point with that. I think that was always something that's super underdiscovered. And then just like being in last stock, last hit against Pikachu sucks. Like, sucks. You can get grabbed or you can get dash attacked. Like, both you die both ways. It's not like, oh, I'm fighting Fox. Like, I can just take the grab and maybe get past the ledge trap or something. Like, there. And this is just from the neutral point. So that's so powerful, man.
I just hate. I get passionate because I hate when someone talks about, like, on paper, blah, blah. There is no character in this game where it's like, yeah, too bad it's not possible. It's like, what are you talking about?
Well, I mean, you played Banjo. What's going on here?
Yeah, Banjo's not possible.
The things that Banjo does to be successful in tournaments aren't, like, the hard things. Like, the things Toriguri does, like, he's just really good. Like, I can do the fast cancel, but, like, he's just good with the character. He's not winning because of the fast cancel. He's just really good, and he can do it. Like,
and sometimes he clutches out certain games with the fast cancel. But it, overall, it's just crazy. Him playing well. Yeah,
there's
no,
like, on-paper weird stuff going on that, like, isn't accessible to everyone. Like,
can I say, though?
Pikachu, all that stuff, you can just do that.
Can I say, though, I think you have a different bar for what's hard and what isn't, I will say, than the average player.
I agree on that.
It's just,
I appreciate your point of view. I just don't think those things are super easy.
I'm not going to
lose. Yeah, you be cheating with that tech skill stuff. All right? We don't want to hear your opinion.
Spamming
cheating,
tech
skill. Yeah. Spamming
tech skill. This is why they won't let us back in Evo, bro, because we can't KFC. We're out.
Yeah, they want items on.
Shit.
So it's regardless if I'm like wrong in all these ways, I feel like a lot of my point still stands where it's like, who cares if it's hard? Just do it.
You're such a competitor, bro.
I don't think that's how
you're
that
such
works,
a sweat,
bro.
Dude. What the heck? Anyway, we got jobs. We can't be in the lab.
Dude, this two-frame input is super easy. Everyone should just be doing it.
That's why I get super mad when the whole Kazuya is so hard thing. It's like, bro, your reward for doing the hard thing is instantly winning the game.
Yeah,
I think
a good way to look at it is like is the juice worth the squeeze, right? Like for Kazuya learning how to have electric, it's like, well, I get a kill out of it, so that's pretty fucking cool. With KFC, it's like, what is it doing again? Like, how?
And then
am
we
I
can look
this?
At Lucas. Lucas, you can do tech and get 3% damage extensions.
Dude,
Pink is asleep, dude. Like,
I do like this part of Lucas, though, where a lot of the time
doing that. He ain't doing that with Lucas, bro.
It's hard to see why things are useful, right? Because it's not very in your face, like the Kazuya stuff. Anyone can understand why learning something with Kazuya is useful because it results in getting a kill at 0%. Nice, but for something like Pikachu or Sheik or Diddy, it's a lot like more ambiguous. For sometimes, because it might just be moving your character. It's like, oh, why don't I just run or walk or crawl or jump? Like, I was learning this really weird wall jump thing with Diddy the last few days, and I was streaming a lot of it. And a lot of the questions were, why would you do this? And it's like, hey, I don't know. I'm learning it so I can find out. Like, everything comes together when I'm able to do it. And things start complementing each other with other things I've practiced. And then there's matchups, and there's different stages and situations. Like, there's never a situation in Smash where it's like, yep, you do this every single time. You always win. Your opponent will always do this here. You should always do this here. That's not how it is. So if there's a new trick, I'm always going to learn it because it might open up new avenues, and maybe it won't. Like, but I still like being able to do whatever I can. Like, whenever I see a weird thing with Diddy, I'm always practicing it as soon as I see it. Like,
genuine question. Do you consider yourself like a player who picks up tech easily or no? Or do you think, like, in terms of being, like, a student or learning things quickly, which do you fall into that category as being someone who learns things quickly like that? Like, tech and
yes.
stuff?
Yeah.
You think you do? Okay. All right.
I think Gavin's very tech savvy.
That's good.
Unfortunately.
Okay, that's a
I
good
don't know
starting
if it's
point.
Going against my argument or something, but yes, I do learn things quickly.
No, I was so genuinely annoying. Curious if you've always been that way or not. Like, because I only am very interested in doing stuff with, obviously with the characters that I play, and only if I see the reason why that's going
to
be
the beneficial. Reason comes after, bro.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm saying, like, one of us is ranked like, you know, top three in the world and the other isn't. So maybe a little bit of a difference there. You're like, that's so easy. I'm like,
dude, watching Gavin in Smash 4 just pick up random character tech. He'll just be like, oh, I'm going to try this character. And then like, he's just doing the tech immediately. It's just like, dude,
is that your
so annoying
power?
Watching. It is. It's so annoying he's watching it because it's just like, dude, what the heck? Just tech man.
Sorry, my fault. Tech man.
Did you get it to work on the right side, by the way?
It doesn't work on the right side.
It just like it's confirmed it doesn't work on the right side. Or are you just like still
I'm very good at it days later. It's not possible. And I've heard about that kind of thing with characters sometimes. So but yeah, I'm not trying to do this thing where it's like, oh, everyone sucks, I'm the best. I just genuinely believe that there's a bit of a misunderstanding for certain things in Ultimate. Like I know that sometimes it's the work is much more obvious, worth putting in with other stuff like Kazuya combos, Steve stuff. Like I get that, but bro, like these characters are perfectly capable and it's not as hard as you think. Like, I'm not trying to be an ass boy. I promise I'm not that guy where it's like, oh, I'm the best. This is so easy for me. Like, that's not what I'm doing. Regardless if it's hard or not, it is worth it. It's always worth it. Just try it.
Yeah,
I think it's possible. Yeah.
Yes, it's possible.
To defend you, I'm sure everyone feels this way about a game they're very good at. You know, like I'm sure everyone feels that way. Like you talk to other people who like play your character or your deck or whatever, your class, like whatever it is. Like, oh, this is so hard. It's like, dude, you have to fuck it. Like, what? What do you mean that's hard? Like, that's the character. Like, that is what
it's
it is.
It's a requirement,
like,
man.
I'm sure
it's one of the checkboxes.
Everyone feels that way about something. I'm just obviously giving you a hard time.
No. It's just an interesting conversation because I think it's people want so bad to have a right or wrong answer to things or like a way to gauge if things are worth it or not. But Smash isn't going to tell you obvious shit like that. Like, every situation is so weirdly different all the time, even if it's just a bread and butter type of scenario. So that's the beauty of it, though. Like, you got to learn as much as you can to keep your mind open and keep your opponent on their toes. Like, you know, I haven't landed a single optimal situation with this wall jump tech, but I'm still going to keep trying it. I'm still going to keep practicing it. And one day I'm going to do some crazy stuff and it's going to be worth it.
And you're going to fucking tournament set off of it. Like,
and even already, I've done the instant wall jump as my opponents grab ledge. It's given them a visual cue and they've immediately picked an option. And I'm starting to like mix them up and like bait them into picking quick options and getting kills that way. Like at one point I did the wall jump, instantly bursted, like went back, did a B reverse, and I'm like ledge trapping and getting a punish that way. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, Diddy has bad air drift, so being able to do an instant wall jump from on stage is a burst of drift that he gets.
And you can pivot it into with the B reverse.
Yeah, if you do like a B reverse nair or something.
I'll go into the full concept right now.
Not the flow chart. Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go.
There's a big flow chart to this. Well, my initial thoughts on it. So Diddy can do this wall jump on the left side of every stage that isn't the Animal Crossing stages. So almost everything, only on the left side. And it's at the corner of the stage. So it looks like you're doing a two frame or threatening a ledge jump, but then you immediately do a dash. You wait for a few frames, dash again, and then you go into like a diagonal right, like kind of like a semicircle a little bit. And Diddy will just wall jump. And he doesn't have air drift. So it's just you go from looking like you're on the stage doing something else to immediately going into an edge guard scenario. And then he has all the popgun cancels. I even will do like a buffered B reverse or a buffered turnaround banana pull. And I do like popgun cancel shield storage during the animation of the banana. Or if you have banana in hand, you can just wall jump, throw it. You have your jump. You can decide if you want a B reverse for back airs or if you want to combo off of the banana pull. Because you can just do banana throw into monkey flip, and if it hits, the monkey flip grab connects and kills them. All that stuff. Like, there's a million things you can do. And also, if it's a character that, like, has less mix-ups in certain situations with their recovery, like if they're at, like, lower than ledge height, you can just manipulate where they have to go with the banana toss or with a forward air, all that stuff. I don't know. It's just an interesting visual cue, and there's so much you can do out of it. What I really want to learn is at buffering the doing the shield storage during the instant wall jump animation, but it's so hard because you have to know you're going to get the wall jump every time. And it's so hard not to like SD with it. So I've been doing some other things, but yeah, like if there's so many things you can do. You can also, because if you do the instant wall jump into a banana pole, you can get like a safe banana in your hand and you can threaten like grabbing ledge or going on stage with it. So if you're like playing against a slower character, you can get like easy banana pulls that can't be threatened. Kind of like what Dakpo's been doing, because you can do like a wave bounce into the ledge with a banana pole and instantly grab it. You can look at it offensively, like I was just saying, but there's a little bit of defensive stuff to it too. So, I can't tell you when you should do it, but I can tell you a million things that you can do with it, and maybe you'll figure something out.
You know? You didn't even start talking about like the layers that it adds, because you mentioned this is all the things that you can do, but then like now people are looking for you to do that. So sometimes you can go for like a ledge trump.
Yes.
If they know that it has to be done at a specific timing, when they see you do the dash, they're like, oh, here comes the wall jump, and you don't even go for it. You just
And if I have banana in my hand, there's a million things I can do with that. I think the obvious way to start out with it is banana in hand. But there's also another, like for when it comes to two framing and ledge trumping, there's already Diddy specific things I do in the first place. Sometimes I'll be at like roll distance and I'll just barrel and go to the ledge like that. Or I can just do it normally now, and there's the wall jump stuff with it. There's also weird stuff with like, you know, releasing the barrels to grab the ledge instantly, or doing a wave bounce monkey flip because when he jerks backwards, he grabs the ledge instead of like going off the stage. Like there's so many cool things. And like I've been trying to say this whole time, when you learn the hard shit, it complements all the other hard stuff you've committed time into. Like, and you know, it's very vague and ambiguous, but you will win games off of doing all this weird stuff. You will. 100%.
This is a more obvious one, but it reminds me of one of my favorite tournament memories or experiences ever was at Terra when you hit that confirm on Spargo. Ooh. That's another instance of something you really needed to work hard on. Someone might have told you, like, that's really situational. When is that going to make a difference? Like, when is that going to happen? Like, and it was the perfect percentage. And if you don't kill him there, you have to fight Rage Cloud with back air. And it's just like, fuck, like, that is just terrible. So,
you needed every single piece of damage and the charge, too. So, like, all that shit mattered.
Yeah.
Like, super duper mattered.
And to put it into perspective, at one point, that platform stuff was the thing for me to learn. That was the new thing I was learning. Now, that shit is a requirement to play. So like, I'm always trying to stay locked in on all the new stuff, because eventually it becomes a standard. And that's really important to me, because if I watch even myself playing well a couple years ago, like there's still things that I don't know about then. Like it changes everything when you just add to the flow chart. So
like, you gotta stop setting your own bar damn high, bro.
And think about that banana thing on Spargo. There was a better way to do that. Because,
oh shit.
Because he, like, thankfully I just knew what he was gonna do, so I can just go for it. But I did a full hop forward toss. So I can't short hop toss that. So I have to commit to going to full hopping versus Cloud. Diddy does not have air mobility. If I do that jump toss and he stays grounded, I lose. You know what I mean? I'm forced to like freak out to try to get away from the big sword. But what you can do is Diddy's back toss is two frames slower than his forward toss. So he reaches the apex of his jump a little better. So the back toss hits all the platforms. The short hop forward toss doesn't, but the short hop back toss does. So what I can do is stay a little lower to the ground with the back toss. So like there's a way to be safer while threatening like the crazy combos you learn, and that also works with the dash attack cancel item toss. If a banana is right here and Diddy's running and I do the dash attack cancel back toss right out of that jump and a banana on the ground, I'm already threatening that platform trip without going past short hop height, because I think for some characters it's not a big deal to full hop, but I think for Diddy it is, especially if you're fighting Spargo's Cloud. Like you're just gonna die. Like I'm basically forced to monkey flip. Cloud's fast enough. Maybe I have to go to the ledge. Like, the game's over. So, like, even then, I could have done it better. But like, if they get hit by it, they get hit by it. So,
yeah. Man,
the visual cue is the crazy part of that new stuff you were talking about. Like, yeah, whenever I hear visual cue, and there's a bunch of options after that.
Yeah.
Yes. bunch of options after visual cue. It's like, that's, it's very good.
Yeah.
You're like a giant nerd is like dude, what I'm getting from all this. But
I got a call from Mars the other day, and he's done this a couple of times where he's streaming and he'll call people and like say like, oh, you play this character. What's something cool I could fish for on Elite Smash? Like, it's like a video. Awesome. And I'll like tell him, but then I was curious. I wanted to see him get it. And I gave him a bunch of weird Diddy stuff, but he ended up just doing the banana thing we were just talking about. I was like, oh, just go for that, bro. It's cool enough. And he was doing it, and he was a little slow the first couple, but he got it like the third or fourth try. Like, he's just good. But like the way he was setting it up was so like, he was trying to get them to get on the platform with him rather than just like threatening it from like a distance. Like, he was setting it up weird, but he got it. And I'm in the chat like talking about how he can go for it safer, like the things I just went through. And bro, like, everyone's like, this guy's just a nerd. Like, Mars in the chat, they're just like, bro, shut up.
Relax, dude. It's just a game.
To me, I'm like, having the time of my life, like, typing it out. Like, it's so cool.
Right. It is one of my favorite things about you is how much you love that shit. Because it's not, I mean, I like tech and I practice the shit for my kit, but I'm not like, bro, you're on another level, which I do appreciate. So,
despite how much I'm saying, like, there's no right or wrong answer, to me, it's just more like, it sounds contradictory, but it's more ways to win. Like, it's a quality of myself that I trust. And if I have more tools to work with, I'm going to have the confidence to win those best of threes, those best of fives. If I know, if I unload my whole bag of tricks, they're so screwed. Like, they're not going to know everything. Even if they watch my stream every day for the rest of their lives, like, I'm going to have something weird. Like, so it's just, it's what
plus
I have.
Plus, you use that information against them too. Yeah. And I think
that is my entire play style. So.
Right. I was going to say it matches completely, you know, 100 or 1000% to your play style, because you always talk about how you like to have tricks, right? And you have, these tricks don't come
easy. The true trick is that I'm not going to use them to win.
Yeah. And my final trick.
It's just playing basic Diddy neutral. Like,
I'm just good at the game. That's my plan.
But also, it kind of comes full circle, though, about like the threat of it existing, right? It's like the timeout thing. Like, it's not just about the fact that it exists.
Has anyone watched my Smash 4 DK and watched a whole set where I didn't win with grab? Like,
that shit was funny.
I would just do that the whole game. I would just jab up tilt the whole game instead of grab. Like,
or just set up like offstage scenarios. Like, watching your DK and it's like right when they got to the ding dong percent, you see Tweak just get like a huge jump read or a roll read. Yeah. Like, boom, 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 edge guard. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, you didn't have to grab you for that. It's just, you're dead.
Just, you can connect it to every character I've ever like mained for the most part. Wario is a big one. Like, when PT was kind of broken and it was just like setting up an edge guard, that was obvious. It's not the same, but like Bayonetta's everything. Cloud in Smash 4 had limit the whole time. So I would just win off of the threat of it and never use it.
You just grab. You'd beat people with Smash 4 Cloud with just grabbing them over and over.
I would, if I won it, it's probably because you got ledge trapped by up B or something. Like, so DK grab, like with Diddy, it's like you have to give me so much information that you don't want to give me just because I'm not throwing this banana. Like, I'm gonna hold it the whole time. So that's my entire playstyle. So yeah, that's the thing. It all comes full circle where you're probably trying not to die in a specific way, and then it's too late because you just lost neutral the whole time or something. So like, you're going to have to work hard for me to even start relying on the tricks. So
a great advertisement for your Metafy when we're here. Truly.
I love doing Metafy. I'm starting to do more. I do like a couple a week probably, but it's always a good time. And I don't know. I'm all about like, you know, no right or wrong answer, giving more options, like different perspectives. Like, I'm not just going to tell you to abuse Wi-Fi like some people have.
Bro, Wi-Fi, so. Do you ever, because I don't know why this is, but I also have been like randomly getting a bunch of lessons recently. And like, do you ever feel like you're like explaining something and it's just not going through? Like there are times where, like, I'll explain, like, all right, bro. Like, I'll use an example from yesterday. So I was like, all right, bro, this is something that Tweak also says a lot of times. It's like, if you're getting hit by Captain Falcon up
here, it's always Falcon.
It's always a Falcon up here. I was like, this is the specific one that Tweak uses. He's like, bro, if you're
getting hit, it's my favorite one because like, you can put the controller down.
You could take the up airs, right, and you take the like 30 or 40%, or you can air dodge.
Or you could mash.
Yeah, or like in whatever. 50, 50 right?
Your life.
50 your stock. Like, is it worth? And someone was like, yeah, but like, how do you know like when the string is over? And I was like, bro, that's a lot of knowledge required. Like, yeah, like for stuff like yeah. that, it's, I'm like, that's the hard part. Like, you just have to like
judge hit gun and like distance mm-hmm. between the characters and yep. resources and character specifics. But there is a general rule of thumb you could start to talk about. But for me with lessons, like, there's usually a couple key things that happen either immediately into the lesson or with what they're looking for before we even start. And it usually branches into a more general thing that I like to teach.
Right.
So I don't just go in there saying, like, I'm going to tell you this, and if you don't get it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. That is the hard part, especially with teaching the idea of playing with that play style in the first place, because it does contradict the whole second-to-second crazy reactions of, like, playing a fighting game or Smash.
Yep.
Because you're going to be overloading yourself if you're also trying to intake a million pieces of information and, like, playing a bit more. But the more you do it, and, like, I also try to give them, like, a few areas where it's easier to apply it and use it. Like, if it's respawn platforms on both sides, you have time to think a bit more consciously rather than second-to-second. Like, so you can start out smaller, but that's okay because they're so general. It's not like it's a thing that only happens versus one character. It happens in every match. Those are the most important things for my Metafy lessons is ledge trapping, edge guarding, corner pressure, respawn, invincibility. Cause like, you know, I don't know who they play. Like a lot of the time they might play a character I've used cause like they're probably coming to me for a reason, but they might not. So I think it's more important to just teach them something that they could use in grand finals of Evo at their local on Elite Smash. Like it's I don't know, it's my favorite way to teach.
But I guess this would be a good Patreon topic, but our worst coaching sessions, because I've had some pretty bad ones.
In the sense of what?
I don't really think I've had bad ones.
I don't think I've had bad ones.
Sometimes okay,
I've had one bad one.
It might be a little quiet, really, but like one. At that point, it's just like, well, maybe they just want to play. So.
Yeah, or like maybe like sometimes I feel like maybe, like I said, like I'm not explaining it well, or like I'm not doing a great job getting the point across. But I don't think I've ever had someone like talk to somebody, at least that I know of, like they're talking to somebody like, bro, oh, don't get talking. This dude's Metafy. Yeah. They might be
a barber situation.
Yeah, you know what I mean, like this
they're going
dude
to a, they're going to a different barber
because yeah. most people I give a lesson, they either like come, because I always tell people like, bro, you can just message me afterward. They normally like,
that's what I do, like yeah. There's no rush, you're not gonna
yeah. you're not gonna especially yeah, right. with the amount of information I'm probably giving you, like you're not going to be able to intake all of it. So if you still have questions and stuff, just ask me. But usually they're like, oh, I did so much better at my local this week, or like
that's the best whatever. Feeling ever.
Or like they're just like, book another lesson. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Maybe somebody out there is like, bro, this dude is trash. And if I mean, my bad. I'm sorry. I tried my best. Like I'm very self-conscious about it. So like
yeah. I mean, everyone has different teaching styles. Fine. That's how
yeah,
I
yeah, exactly.
right. yeah, like everyone learns in a different way and everyone teaches in a different way. Let me sidebar real quick just on my worst lesson ever. So this individual was very new and there's nothing wrong with that, right? So I was trying to explain the concept of a high commitment rate. So like if you go for a lot of dash grabs or up smashes when your opponent's at 50%, or you know, these very committal options that obviously are not worth the risk, right? And generally the higher, like the more consistent you want your gameplay to be, the safer you have to make decisions, right? You have to make safer decisions, right? I was trying to explain this concept. This individual was arguing with me, like just saying I was wrong. And I was just like,
lit. Huh?
It was wild. It was insane, right?
What does the counter argument to that sound like?
Boom.
I, I have no idea. I erased it from my brain because I'm not going to want to be able to call back to that information because it's useless information. But just
good podcast information. What the heck?
I mean, just trying to justify certain options where I'm like, oh, okay, well, instead of up smash there, you could instead go for a nair, which you actually get more combo for or more damage for, because I don't want to sound like I'm just in an argument and just come in and just be like, well, I'm just right because I have data. But like in this particular argument, I was just right because it's, and I don't want to like put someone down because of their knowledge of Smash. But at the end of the day, it's just literally the points I were making were just correct. And the statements they were making were just incorrect. So it's if you want to play the game in a suboptimal manner, that's just your choice. That's cool. If that's just how you want to play. But you're paying me to tell you what to do to make you a better player. So I'm trying to do that, but then they're arguing with me, right? And it got super awkward because towards the end, it was crazy because we were watching the set, right? And I've never watched this person's set. They just linked it to me, right? And it was so bad that I had to like start proving to him that I knew what I was talking about by reading him. So like during the match, I'm like, you're going to ledge roll here. After the ledge roll, you're going to like do this option and then get punished for it and then lose the game. And then literally hit play, it happened. Like I had to, there's a certain point where I'm like, I guess this person doesn't think I'm credible enough. So I need to like IRL show him that I'm credible. But that was definitely the one and only
magic trick. You have to like,
I had to do a magic trick. Yeah. So I was like, let me just.
It's crazy that you have to prove your credentials after they hired
you. They paid you. Dude, it was a good amount of money.
I was trying my best.
For stuff like that, something I try to do, because something I get a lot is like, I knew this was coming. I knew that they were going to do this option, and I just didn't punish it, and I got punished. Is like, so I always try to teach this perspective of sometimes, even if you get a hit, it might not have been wise. Like, I still might disagree with it. Like, if you read Luigi was spot dodging and you went up to him and up smashed him, that's cool. But I wouldn't do that because I'm not trying to die zero.
Yep. Like, right.
I'm not running into Luigi's space regardless of how hard I'm reading him. I might do it in a very safe way, but not like an up smash way. Like,
that's like super deep macro stuff that you start getting into with high to top level players, right? Yeah. And I think like the lower to mid level players, you need to instill the fundamentals that can get them eventually to the point of being able to see the macro part of the game at like high to top level.
So basically what I'm getting at is if you know it's coming, that's great. You don't have to zero to death them immediately after reading them. The knowledge and the information is amazing. And in some cases with the Luigi example, watching him like spot dodge is a great piece of information, but you don't like, you're not doing something wrong if you don't get the hit, and you're not necessarily doing something right if you get the hit.
Yeah.
So that's what it's kind of similar to what you're talking about. That's what I try to really push at someone is, you could say it for so many situations, like just cause you got this crazy moment doesn't mean I'm going to agree with it or think it's wise. Like, you know, you take what you get, but
I also like, I'm in the same vein where like, I'll sit like, they'll be like, I knew this was coming. Like I should have forward smashed or something like that. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, but like, is that really what we should be focusing on here? Like the move that you should have used in this situation instead of like,
you can open this up to like such a greater scale. Like the stage positioning is important. Like if you're reading a neutral get up on the ledge and you want to destroy them for it, but like, think about the risk reward of it, right? Like they just got off the ledge. They're in the corner now. You have all the control. Like, do you really want to bank everything on this one thing? So like, I don't know. It's a big part of Smash, and it's like everything else we were just talking about with all the crazy tech and the reason behind like difficult stuff in Smash and the value behind it. It's like a lot of the time it's really vague. And I feel like this is weird, but I feel like I've been learning it in a way with Yu-Gi-Oh! Where because I'm new, I'm always trying to find something to just copy. Like I just want to copy someone's deck and I want to like, and I want it to be the perfect way to play in my brain, but it's just not.
And that's where like the really, really, really good card players come in, is that they know everyone's going to be playing that one thing. So they have like the one card that counters the one thing that everyone's going to do it. But then there's people who notice that, don't say anything, and counter the cat. Like
the context of what you're up against locally, regionally, like on a national scale, like,
And net decking that deck list is not going to win you the next one, because the reason why they had that list in the first place is because most players have certain meta reads and stuff like that that have certain cards in their side deck or main deck, right? So, yeah, it's really interesting, because you kind of have to have like a lot of foresight to win a lot of these big like TCG tournaments.
Yeah. And so it's been interesting to try to branch out of how rigid I am with Yu-Gi-Oh! Because I'm so new. So it's pretty interesting.
But that's the thing that...
Sorry, that was the door in my house.
Everyone okay?
That's the thing that I think people with Smash, like, a lot of times need to, like, learn and try not to skip, is that, like, okay, here's my base floor, like, game plan, flow chart, and I'm just gonna, like, do what I see the other people doing, and then figure out why it doesn't work, what I like, what I don't like. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times I feel like people are like, I just want to get this sick read that I saw this player do. And I'm like, you have no idea what went into this. You are not at like the current level to like see that they did jump 3 times in a row. Then like you didn't punish it 3 times and they thought it was like whatever. You know what I mean? Like you're not there yet. You need to get to like this base game plan and be like, okay, well, in the ideal world, I want to be able to do this. So I'm going to do it. And then as you're doing it and it's happening and you see you're starting to lose, you're like, oh, they countered it with this or they did that. You know what I mean? And then, okay, well, how do I deal with that? And that's how you evolve as a player. And that's going to happen with you at Yu-Gi-Oh! Because you obviously know how to do things like that, right? Like you're good at Smash. So you have that like rigidness right now, but somebody's going to drop this and you're like, oh, okay, next time, like I'm going to keep that locked in my memory banks because I lost for that. I thought I could just do my whole combo here, but I didn't know that they could have possibly had this card, and that was a game-losing play. Yeah. And I think being able to learn how to eliminate game-losing plays is way more important than learning how to, like, have game-winning plays, you know what I mean? Like,
for Smash Ultimate, I think that kind of perspective is great, because there's so many situations you're not going to be ready for. There's a million different characters and matchups, blah, blah, blah. Like, so a lot of the time, a lot of the lessons I get are just how daunting it is a lot of the time. Is like, how do I be ready for all this? And I think it's interesting that you can play in a way where you're not truly ready for all of it, but you can play in a way where you get caught off guard as little as possible and you protect yourself. So, you know, if Game & Watch is on the ledge, bro, I'm gonna let him get up.
Game, yup.
Like, it's that kind of thing. Like, just because he's on the ledge doesn't mean I'm in a winning position. Game & Watch, he's winning, bro. So I'm letting him get up. Respectfully, do your thing.
You know what's crazy? The exact thing that you and Pink were talking about is something that I've been struggling a lot. Like, even at my last tournament, there were so much scenarios. Like, I'm up a stock, I'm at 70%, and my opponent's Luigi, right? And he does normal get up. And in my brain, I'm like, okay, I can dash attack normal get up, right? But it's in that scenario, I don't have to take a risk. Because if I fuck up that dash attack and shields, I die at 70, which is literally the only way I should lose that game.
Your stock is more important than getting
my stock is more important than the damage. Right, exactly. Like, having that priority list. Obviously, like, looking back on it with hindsight, because, like, I was just in the moment. I'm ledge trapping, right? In my brain, I'm like, okay, I have him on the ledge. I'm at roll. And then I'm just, like, instinctively reacting to normal get up with dash attack. But in that scenario, I should just kind of be telling myself, hey, just corner pressure him. I don't have to hit this ledge trap for damage, right? Just stage control and stuff like that. But it's just funny because you guys talking about that just made me think about, like, I look back at my last tournament, I'm like, there's so many decisions I made that I was essentially asking to lose. Like, I could have just not made those decisions and I can just, like, ride a lead essentially, right? I if I'm not behind, I don't have to take those risks.
That stock lead has been dwindled down to, like, a small timing difference. So, like, I'm not down for it. Down for it.
Right, but right. Like, controlling variants.
I guess that about does it for today. That was actually a fun conversation I didn't expect to have. We are going to get into the Patreon bonus content real quick. We're going to be shaping the meta for the next Smash game with our current idea of Ultimate's roster and everything. So,
what is Smash?
Who's going to be good? Who's going to be bad? I'm sure you can guess some of it. But you should support the Patreon to find out anyways. Thank you so much. Peace out.
See you.